Minister Jonathan Butler on guitar. The song is entitled We Need You, Lord, and he is joined by an orchestra. Glad that you're joining me on Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. for another episode of Spiritual Perspectives, where we're focusing on salvation. so powerful. So powerful, so beautiful. Jonathan Butler, We Need You, Lord. Joined by an orchestra, wonderful choir. I tell you, that was awesome. And we do need him. There is so much madness surrounding us all around. And I mean all around. In our churches. Nothing new. In our churches, around our churches, you name it. Madness. Political leaders who are working very, very hard to divide the nation. Nothing new. But wow, it has been stepped up to a whole nother level now. The leaders who encourage American citizens to hate their fellow American citizens and encourage them, sometimes subtly, sometimes overtly, to express their hatred for their fellow citizens. We still have the madness that goes on within our families. There's so much going on. We need the Lord. And I want to encourage you again to do everything in your power to be a team player in your home. All of you working together deliberately with a plan that you've come up with to make your homes places of refuge for everyone who lives there. And of course, the key to it is to ask God to help us make our homes places of refuge, to help us, each one who lives in the home, do our part to make the home a place of refuge. Homes do not make themselves places of refuge. The people who live there make the homes places of refuge. We need you, Lord, right now. We're focusing on salvation. And of course, salvation has to do with so much that has to do with life, including the restoration of peace, which can be so hard to come by when you have so many people who are dedicated, committed, devoted to causing chaos. And so one of the things that we learn and begin to truly appreciate is the importance of experiencing the peace and the joy that the Lord promises us from the inside out. Here's the beauty of it. Because God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us, the peace starts within. It doesn't have to start without. It doesn't have to start based on what's going on around us. To have the true peace of God, the true joy of the Lord, that comes from the inside anyway. As we practice being faithful to the Lord our God, as we practice developing greater and greater and ever increasing intimacy with Him, and as we are continually developing that intimacy with Him, we're also learning and being empowered to trust Him more. And as we trust Him more, there's less drama on the inside of us, regardless of what drama may be going on outside of us. Less and less drama inside of us, which makes room for more and more peace inside of us. The peace that passes all understanding, the peace that can amaze us and others as we maintain our peaceful dispositions inspired and given by the Holy Spirit, despite the madness and the drama that's all around us. And that's something that is good for people of every race, every social class. I know that although a lot of you who are very, very wealthy and have great power in the world don't experience a lot of the drama that middle-class people and poor people experience, I realize that you do have situations that come up that are very, very troubling for you too. And I'm not even talking about, well, it's just no question. Sometimes, no matter what social class we are, no matter what gender, no matter what race, we often bring trouble on ourselves by the things that we do and say. But sometimes it's just a matter of, it's just by virtue of the fact that we live on this earth, surrounded by others who love drama. And a lot of people don't realize that what goes around does come around. We do reap what we sow. Chickens do come home to roost. And when we are constantly making trouble for other people, there's going to be some point in our lives where we're going to have someone causing trouble for us, one way or another. And let's not be fooled. Our Creator does have the ability to ensure that those who trouble others are troubled themselves. And so I do want to encourage everyone, regardless of your positions and titles, regardless of your wealth and power and influence, I do want to encourage you to live a lifestyle that really is in harmony with the lifestyle that our Creator has prescribed and demanded for all of humanity, so that at least you have the Creator sending as much good into your lives as He has planned, instead of you having Him fighting against you because you're fighting against Him. I tell you what, I think it's a good thing for us to care about people, even those who seek our harm, those who are continually pursuing us to try to make life miserable for us. God has said, the greatest commandment is to love Him. The second greatest is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Jesus made it clear that loving our neighbor includes loving our enemies, those who hate us. And it's interesting to note that sometimes the people who hate us are not always the folks who are far removed from us, who we never see. Very often, the people who hate us are those who smile in our faces once a week and tell us from time to time that they love us. And they're lying when they say it. And they know they're lying. Because the truth is, it is impossible to love someone whom you're constantly trying to harm. But we learn to let go of the pain that can cause, the anger that can come with the pain, the bitterness that can follow the anger if we don't let go of the anger soon enough, and thereby leave room for God's peace, because our hearts, our minds, our emotional selves are not filled with hostility, hatred, malice, bitterness, anger, pain. But we allow the Lord our God to free us from all of that, so that we can be filled with and experience His peace, His joy, His love. And I do want those of you who know what it is to experience the satisfaction of making life difficult for other people to begin to experience the opposite of that, and to know what it is to experience the joy and the fulfillment of doing what you can to help people, especially those who have expressed their love for you, even though you've never met. A sincere love for you, praying for you, praying for your loved ones, those whom you do love. Begin to experience the joy, the satisfaction, the fulfillment of helping some whom you've worked hard to harm over the years. Forgive. Isn't it interesting that wealthy people have to forgive too, just like poor people and middle class people have to forgive. Forgive. Learn to let go. Exercise, develop the strength that it takes to let go of the anger, the pain, the disappointment, to let it go. Especially when one has made it clear that they truly regret the wrong they did because it was wrong. And they've expressed that. Forgive. Sometimes, and this is the beauty of the power of forgiveness and the command to forgive, I love the fact, remember what I've shared with you before, whenever the Lord God gives us a command, he also gives us the power to obey that command. So just like when Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you on the water. While Peter and the rest of the disciples were in the boat on the lake while it was storming out there. And Jesus just simply said, come. Peter got out of the boat and for a while walked towards the Lord Jesus on the water through the storm. When Jesus said, come, he empowered Peter to come. So when the Lord commands us to forgive, he also gives us power with the command to forgive. And of course, it's up to us to let go of the pain so that the power we're given will work for us. Because if we continue to hold on to that pain and fail to let it go, the anger that comes with the pain is going to hold on to us and refuse to let us go. And then we find ourselves holding on to pain, anger holding on to us, and us holding on to anger. Then bitterness creeps in, and then it becomes extremely difficult to truly forgive. But if we'll ask God to help us, he will help us forgive. He'll help us allow him to free us from the pain, take it away. Take away the anger, take away the bitterness, so that we can then receive the power to forgive. It can be so liberating, so exhilarating to truly forgive. Something that sounds like it's something that only weak people do. But when you think about how few people truly forgive, you realize that forgiveness is not for the weak. Forgiving is something that strong people do because it takes strength to forgive. It takes power to forgive. Oh, sometimes somebody who we really, really love, they really love us, and we really care about each other, and we've been connected for years and years, and we do something that's wrong, but it's not that major a deal, not that big a deal. We can forgive that pretty easily. But if it's done by somebody we don't know, or maybe we consider what they did a major act of betrayal, or maybe we just have a huge problem with pride, and we decide nobody's going to treat me like that. No one's going to. And when that pride kicks in, pride can make it very, very difficult to forgive. That's why I'm saying it takes power to forgive, especially to live a lifestyle of forgiving people, especially when you have people coming at you from all angles. And they're just constantly coming, constantly coming, constantly coming, trying to make life miserable for you when many of them have never even met you, have never been provoked by you, and yet they keep coming. To live a lifestyle of just continually forgiving those who you do know, those you haven't met, you heard about this, you heard about that, but you forgive anyway. It takes power to live that kind of lifestyle. I do want to encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, ask God to help you live that lifestyle. Ask him to help you get started, to begin to live that lifestyle. For those of us who are saints, born-again believers, Christians, children of God, truly children of God, I'm not talking about the hypocrites, the people who claim to be children of God and they know they serve someone else. I'm talking about the people who are really God's people. One of the blessings, pleasures, satisfactions, fulfillments that he empowers us to experience is that of experiencing victory over sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. Victory over sin. Let me tell you something. When we are at the point where we really want to please God and we really want to experience fulfillment in life, we are going to want to deal with our sin. We're going to stop focusing so much on other people's sins, and we're going to want to experience victory over sin as a lifestyle in our own lives. Let's take a look when we get back together in just a few minutes at some of the scriptures in Romans chapters 7 and 8. To talk about that very thing, experiencing victory over sin. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. We lift our hands and bow our knee and worship at your throne. We need you, Lord.